people become so intellectual that they forget to understand that we're not just our mind, and we're not just our thoughts, and we're not just our knowledge. And so as much as we learn, we also have to forget.
Hier ist Christoph Mauer und du hörst 100% den Podcast über Fokus bei der Arbeit, Achtsamkeit im Alltag und auch heute wieder über sehr grundsätzliche Fragen des Lebens. This is one of the new episodes that were recorded in English due to my interviewing partner being an international speaker and researcher of self-development. You will listen to Pavel Stuchlik, former athlete, former fitness entrepreneur and now investor, retreat organizer, spiritual DJ and eternal student of self-development. We will talk a lot about biohacking stuff, his personal journey into self-development and his framework on how to help people on their own way. Thank you so much for listening. Have fun learning all this new and frontier expanding stuff and feel free to ask me anything that did not become clear in the next hour. I was very much back into Biohacker Summit because last week I spoke to Inka Land and we had a recording for the podcast. And then directly after that, I rewatched your talk and I was very much in the vibe of the summit again on that day. And now we got you here. I really like the opportunity. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited too. And it's funny. I've been in a really interesting situation in life. I've been so just tired, and because of so many different projects we've been working on, that I literally, it's like the first day I can even be alive. We recently invested into this amazing company, and so it's been taking all of our times on top of all of our missions and all of the things that we're doing. So it's been nuts.
It's a great pleasure and honor to have you on the show with this first free day of yours. Just recently, you had some days with very exciting experiences. And just to set the frame for what we're talking about today, and I got a lot of questions about your journey and about what you did and what you created and what broke together and how you rose again. But tell me, what was the experience with the blocking of the ganglion stellatum?
Yeah, no. So it's so interesting. I've been, on this health journey, or I call it the journey through self-transformation, for many, many years, and really questioning, everything, and seeking and looking for what else is out there that we could add into our, essentially armor, so we can help others along the way. And so when this SGB block came into place, I was really intrigued by it because it essentially resets your nervous system with a long needle that goes into your neck.
Yes.
And traditionally people use it for PTSD, but even more so, I think people that are chronically stressed with day-to-day life, and really that could be a mom, that could be, anyone, with the demanding world we live in, it can bring some massive amount of release and peace into people's lives. And while I was there, there was a veteran there that for 35 years he's been on morphine, liquid morphine, and completely hooked to pain medicine. And in one session, he was out of it. He didn't have any withdrawals, and he literally has no more pain. So I was like, this is insane. How come that, this is not being used more?
Because I guess it is widely unknown. For some context here, I'm a trained anesthesiologist, and we use that if there is accidental injection of stuff into the arterial system of the arm. And then sometimes the arteries cramp, and the result would be a restricted blood flow and necrosis of maybe the hand or some fingers. So the Ganglion stellatum block was invented to distend or to relax the muscles of the arteries of the hand, which are innervated by the sympathetic nervous system, of course, as each artery is, and the arm is directed by this stellatum ganglion. And then you show this in an Instagram story, and I was, well, perplexed that how can someone have the idea to do some, well, it's like an upstream regulation. What I'm describing here is a downstream regulation. So you want in the downstream of the nerve, you need some relaxation. So you block it with some nerve blocking agent. There are many. But what you describe here is an upstream effect, and it will do something in the brain, and not on a neuro level, but on a world perception and behavioral level. So that is something completely different to what I know about it. Who first thought about that, and what was your very personal experience with it?
Yeah, no, so it's funny, right? So I push the boundaries everywhere I go. And so basically I met a local doctors here a couple of years ago from a place called Regenesis. And what they do, they're a regenerative medicine place, which focuses on stem cells and exosomes and all the advanced medical treatments like ozone and high dose of vitamin C and also aesthetics. And essentially, you know, I go there weekly for my ozone IV as well as just traditional Maris cocktail when we fly. And essentially, we constantly were just talking about, you know, what else do they have? What are they working on? How can we support them to also bring more people here? Because unlike many other clinics, they're actually very affordable, and they are here to truly help people. And so they'll work with people, whatever budgets they might have. And essentially, we talked a lot about PTSD because we have a lot of people coming to us in workshops and retreats. And so naturally, I've been recommending a bunch of people to them that have had significant results. Now, I have been in such a chronic stress recently that I've started waking up with fight or flight. And it's completely the opposite of what, you know, I traditionally do. And what's been happening to me is that my morning breath and meditation has been causing a lot of cortisols and making me more stressed than other times. And it's primarily been because of demanding schedule. We like could not take time off. And unfortunately, I've taken it so far out that I was like, how about trying this this injection? And so I actually first did a procaine IV, which is another miracle. It's just simple, you know, procaine mixed with some other substance, which has also been used for decades. And that also calms down your nervous system. And so at first I was like, wow, this feels really great. I actually combined it with ozone, which has a similar calming effect for me as well. And then, you know, a few days later, we were like, if you're still not okay, try this, you know, injection. And so I did it and had a massive amount of release, especially the day after, the second day. I've probably had the best day in very long time, like the amount of overwhelming sensation of just feeling good was really incredible. And so I highly recommend it to anyone that is super stressed or also is dealing with depression, dealing with anxieties, dealing with any sorts of huge changes in life. And maybe before even going straight for the SGB, I would go for just a simple procaine IV.
Yeah, definitely that is less invasive.
Yeah, because I will tell you, like, you do have a brain fog for a couple of days after. Like, I'm still on it because of the anesthesia. So there is some, you know, side effects as well with that.
Yeah. You talked about your retreats where you meet a lot of PTSD patients. These are the system reset experiences, I guess, what you're talking about?
Yeah, you got it. So either there or back when I was doing a lot of Wim Hof workshops, Wim Hof has been attracting tons of, you know, PTSD, veterans, military guys. But yeah, there's so many people that hurt out there and, need this knowledge, you know?
It is so interesting to hear that you are, well, kind of trapped into this hustle mode, because it is, well, that very much is part of your personal history. Then, if I just may recap a little, you've been a professional cyclist, and then you were severely sick for some time, had to stop this career, and then you were a successful entrepreneur and founded Orange Theory Fitness, which is, well, worldwide franchised right now. And you sold it again when you found out, well, I'm working too much and it is not the way I like to live. And then you are into the NOAA movement, which is where I met you and where I was deeply impressed by. So the smoothness with which you gave us an experience, a bonding experience in a hall of 1,000 people in only 20 minutes. So you were there on point, but it was completely tranquilized, so easy. And now you tell me that there is so much stress and hustle in the background. That is so interesting that you oscillate between those two modes of existence. So that is your personal travel, your journey through life to balance this?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's so funny. I have been in so much balance because of NOAA Aeon, because of like focusing on that. But recently we've had a lot of companies that have been coming up to us and that have really deserved the need of exposure. And so what we've committed to. So I'll give you kind of an example of how I've created my life. So I put my life into three different segments. It's passion, purpose, and legacy. My passion is music, and that's really where I've been able to find that peace and creativity and emotional stability. My purpose is lectures, workshops, retreats. This is when we can give ourselves back to community. And then my legacy has been the conscious or purpose-driven businesses that we either invest into or help scale. And ironically, you know, we've been working on these businesses for the past couple years, and we could not click. Like, it would not work, not the right synergy with partners, not the right you know, timing, not the right financing. And then all of a sudden, within 2-week period, all three businesses have clicked at the same time. And so life has this interesting way of gate openings, you know, in the most vulnerable times. And it's happened to me, you know, the last 2 weeks. And I'll give you an example. I mean, we've invested into a company called Conscious Spaces, which we're so passionate about, because in the journey through self-transformation, we teach about this model called me, we, and be. And we can dive into this a little bit later. But
I'd love to.
Me is, you know, the personal health. That's yourself. The we is the collective and also environment. And essentially, Conscious Spaces literally has been able to define the solution for how can we create a conscious space in our living environment. And I've been on this hunt of questioning, like, why are we buying toxic products? Why are we buying toxic paints? Why are we buying, you know, blue lights that are literally damaging our sleep and our energy levels? And so through this why, I discovered, you know, Conscious Spaces, which we've been talking to them for many months now. And we found this beautiful synergy where we can actually find a marketplace for what I like to call conscious consumer, somebody that has had enough of this lifetime of lying and deception from the things that we're being brought into. And instead, they're ready to actually be part of the change, be part of the progress. And that's what this marketplace is for.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so that was one of the things. The second thing that happened, we literally had to fly to Dubai into the middle of everything. And we're working on this powerful transformation lab in Dubai. We can say it now. And it's something that we're partnering up with some very beautiful group of people that have asked us to create a transformation lab. So that way people actually have a place to go to and experience all the things that we're talking about. So the whole journey through self-transformation will be translated into a physical location. And so that is literally its own monster that we're working on. And then with Noah Aeon, you know, we have so many pre-bookings and locations and courses that we're releasing, that all of this happened in 2 week period.
Okay. This is interesting to hear, because these are so many different things and you must switch a lot in between all these tasks. Interesting how you do that. Well, this transformation lab in Dubai, that's something like Orange Theory Fitness, but only for the mind, is it?
So transformation lab is essentially a full body, mind, soul, emotional recalibration, where it's a combination of different modalities like hot and cold therapy, red light, hyperbaric chamber. So in that particular concept, we're using like all of the cutting edge equipment and making it accessible for more people. And essentially, it's going to cover also consciousness. So we're building this amazing meditation / breathwork journey, where it's like a theta inducer machine. And so we're looking at it from like the whole complexity of what do you need to sustain, to feel healthy, to feel vibrant. And then that facility would be essentially made for that.
Awesome. Yeah, I personally believe that breathwork is really a core skill to self-regulate. And I teach it to each and every patient I have, because that is something they need to learn in the first hour working with me. That, not that I'm a Wim Hof expert or something like that, but we just do some resonance breathing or four square breathing, so that they got some ultra quick release for stressful situations. And I consider it really important to, so that they redo and redo and get their own experience, and also know they can rely on that. So that whenever there's a situation that overflows your consciousness so much that you get into fight and flight mode, then you just have to remember breathe. That is everything you have to remember. And then you go into autopilot and just breathe until your self-regulation kicks in. I love it that you do have such a big place for breath work in this transformation lab.
Well, you know, this is something I've been saying for years. Breath is what you're born with. So it's like the initial startup kit, or the image I'm getting, it's like if you turn on your keys, right, in the car, like that's like the initial breath. And then breath is what you're going to die with. You're going to take one final breath before you turn off the keys of this vessel that we're living in. And so if there is something that people can do, and if there's only one thing that people can do, it literally is tuning into the breath. And so I really genuinely believe that there is nothing more powerful and important in this life that is moving, such as breath, the ha, mana, prana, chi. It's in so many different, places. And it has been misunderstood for years, and it has been also undervalued and underutilized. And the minute that you look into your breath and you start looking at it from a perspective of force, of energy, of oneness, all of a sudden the stuff that start coming out and the triggers that it can bring you from your visions, your levels of awareness is what's changed my life. You know, the minute I start tuning into breath, my life has completely transformed. And it's funny. So maybe even now, right? As people are listening, some of the most important thing is, are you aware of your breathing? Are you breathing just into your lower abdomen, or are you fully utilizing your belly, your chest? Are you breathing through your diaphragm, right? I always like to say instant present tools have been extremely powerful for me, where it's this just three simple tools. You observe your breath, whatever rhythm, ideally it's that, you know, 5.5 seconds on inhale, 5.5 seconds on exhale, based on science that will help your coherence. Then fully being in your body. Most people, whenever we're listening or talking and moving, we put our attention in our brain, and we are so heady. We're so much in our head. So can we bring that full intention into every pore of your skin? So just visualizing every pore of your skin, relaxing and fully embedding the presence inside of you. And then the last one is, I always like to say, can you hear the noise behind, can you hear the silence behind the noise? So no matter how noisy the area that you might be in is, you can always pay attention to this subtle silence, maybe a little waterfall, maybe a little it's this like sound. And that's universe. That's that powerful sound, light, breath combination.
Yeah, that is, well, great mastership to tune in on the who instantly. And I loved how you, when you did the talk at the summit, how you described your personal approach, the me, we, be, and what is subsumized under me and we and be. And then you said, yeah, after I mastered this, I mastered this. And then you stopped for a second and said, and by mastering, I don't mean that I master it, but I'm on a constant working on that. And that was interesting to see how you, well, you considered, obviously, you considered yourself to be something like a work in progress and a continuous student. And at the same time, you seem to be your own teacher. And that was interesting to see, because that, well, kind of sparked a flame, which was done in these first minutes when you did breath work with us. It was a laugh coherence exercise, and I was quite surprised to find something like that in a biohackers conference, because up to then the talks were about supplements and receptors and genetic and epigenetic factors. And then you came with inhale and exhale through your hands to your neighbor. I thought, what's going on? And after some minutes, I was in a feeling of great gratitude. And that was what you did. And that was how you brought us into this way to master and to be a student and a teacher at the same time. And I was really impressed by this exercise.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm getting a goosebumps as you're saying it. And that's, you know, really the most important thing to keep on reminding people, because even though, you know, knowledge is power, and continued knowledge, especially in the biohacking world, can be almost like a thing to do, right? And what I've noticed, people become so intellectual that they forget to understand that we're not just our mind, and we're not just our thoughts, and we're not just our knowledge. And so as much as we learn, we also have to forget. And that's the funniest part about everything is I'm working on a book, the Journey Through Cell Transformation, that will be released next June. And it's essentially literally the entire book will give you all of the how, right? The tools, the latest science, the latest parts on how to be generally awesome. But then at the end, it's going to tell you to forget about everything, because ultimately there is no one way to do it. There is no one thing that is perfect, because the minute that you think that you got it, universe will slap you right on your face, just like myself in a couple of weeks ago. And so it's this never ending progress, and finding the ease and acceptance through the progress is really the lesson that I've learned through it. And, you know, it's so interesting because, you're mastering skills and things, but you only can master so much at a time that universe gives you. And it's funny. It's, you know, this game that we're playing on Earth is like, really, it can be fun and it can be very brutal. And it all depends on the levels of engagement and interest that we give it to. And ultimately, when we're living in this state of coherence, in this state of awareness, and we're aware of our breath, we are in our body, then things just feel much lighter, much easier, much more like learning through love and joy instead of learning through gutter, fear, and pain. And that's really the choice that we have. There is no more ways to go besides you either go to the right, the love, the higher route, or you go to the left, the fear, the pain, the lower route. And there is no good or bad. It's just which frequency you choose to learn from. And sooner people wake up to the realization that, you know, we're not here living our stories through what we are. It's who we are and who we're becoming. And I think those were some hard lessons and hard truths I had to learn through, you know, these years.
I also like this, the wording of choosing a frequency in which you engage with, also in which you will resonate with. It's a helpful model, and because in some situations you really feel that something with a low frequency tunes you down, and you can feel it like in your body what happens there. Also, if you would typically choose a vocabulary of describing the mind, but still you feel it as an embodied experience. And same is for say higher frequency experience or higher frequency settings. Whenever, like, the easy thing would be love. You can be in a miserable state and love hits you, and this will rise you up and you will feel better, and your body will feel better and your mind will feel better. That is turning to a frequency and tuning in into a frequency and resonating with the frequency and being the echo chamber for this frequency. So that I totally agree that it's a conscious decision where to go, if you know that there is a decision to make.
Yeah, it's that choice that we're taught we don't have. And I think it goes into the world of deception. And, you know, it's funny. I've been having these visions more and more frequent. And I think I was saved at an early age because I basically since eighth grade, I've been cycling. And so I would only go to school every 3 months to finish to pass tests, to be able to have like an individual plan to keep on racing bikes. And, I genuinely think it saved my life that I wasn't in the system long enough, because when I went to high school, I barely was at school, and 1 year from it, I spent in the US as a foreign exchange student. And then I failed high school. I finally, you know, every time I would go back, my friends would give me the results, the test results, so I didn't have to study. But this one time, I had to spend the time with a teacher at her office, and I think the teacher start, you know, catching me that I'm not studying whatever she's giving me, and essentially I failed, and I failed like three different subjects. And so this is when I already had my first company. When I was 17, I started my first company trading between Alibaba and eBay. And I literally I failed school, and I paid my friend to finish high school online for me. And the reason why I'm saying this is because during this time, I start listening to Eckhart Tolle, Neil Donald Walsh, and I start educating myself on spirituality, yoga, meditation. I got initiated with Kriya Yoga and the whole Yogananda self-realization. And that's really what my heart desired and what I really wanted to learn. And I think because of that, I kept on questioning life, questioning everything in from a place of wonder and from a place of not a tunnel vision. And I think what majority of us have to realize, and that's why breath is so powerful, is we have to get out of this dream state. We're literally living in a dream that is built from very young age for us, and that we follow this construct of what we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to, you know, what we're supposed to do. And, you know, think about it, it starts with very young age, from like a kindergarten up. We are just sent and told, and we're so little. So the worst part about this is that kids are so vulnerable and open and trusting, and whatever we feed them, that's who they become. And then when they wake up further in life, if they wake up, and this is why, you know, car crashes happen. This is why, I don't know, cancers happen. This is these pivotal awakening moments, because we're so sidetracked, so far away in that world of deception that we can't even take our own breath to realize who we are. And so what's happening now with the shift, with everything in the world, with breathing, with psychedelics, it's unlocking us. It's helping us finally remove from this holograph of somebody else's life. And that's the worst part about this, is we're living somebody else's construct that has been pre-agreed upon before we even came here. And now the choice is, can we step outside of it, and can we actually transform? And that's the journey through self-transformation of how to actually be awesome all the time, because that's why we came here, to be playful, to enjoy, to have the most amazing, beautiful relationships, to have fun. And instead, you know, for majority of the world, it's the opposite. And it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, that was the title of your talk, How to Be Generally Awesome. And I loved it, because I thought, yeah, what a cusper to how can you place that title? But that was very much the idea I had after that. You also had a cycle you described for wake up, clean up, power up, rest up. And that one is mighty, because you can figure out where you are and what you have to do in one specific part of your life. So, the example you gave was, for example, being educated or waking up to the knowledge that vitamin D is important. So you have to, this thought, this knowledge has to settle in your brain, and then you set yourself for action. And cleaning up means that you have to know your blood levels, and you have to change your life to have more sunlight exposure, for example. And then you power up, which can be to supplement vitamin D until it's good. And then, and that is a really important step, you have to rest up, so that it has to, to distribute in the body, and it has to do its work. And that is also part of the cycle. And this can be applied to, you know, as a very simple and easy grabbable approach to many awakenings in life.
No, absolutely. And I guess maybe I'll step into it. So a little bit for the listeners, basically, you know, I've been on this journey through self-transformation, and so is everyone, right? Like we're not stagnant in any possible way. The universe just won't allow us to be stagnant long enough before something will happen. Now, over the past 10, 15 years, I've been intensively traveling the world and learning from some of the most interesting humans, whatever it's shamans, gurus, mystics, or even just scientists and doctors. And essentially I've been on this hunt of first fixing my health. When I was 20 years old, I completely lost it. I had Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue, and I had to quit my professional cycling career because I couldn't do it anymore. My body completely shut off. Now, when that happened, I start seeking what are other ways to heal. And so over the past 10, 15 years, I've been tracking my progress of this transformation. And I've noticed that there is a very similar path that perhaps happens to a lot of us. Not the same path, right? We're going to come from it from a different angle. But what I did is I simplified the progress so that way somebody can A, realize where in that process they are, and then B, improve the process based on the different aspects that we are. So let's go back to the me we be model. So essentially, when I look at our life and our consciousness in a simplified way, and that's really important to me, is I'm not going here with any deep terms. I mean, my whole point is, how does 99% of the world understand this? And that's what's really important, because without an understanding, we're not going to be able to fully change. And so it all starts with me. Me meaning single consciousness, or you, obviously. And when you think about yourself, think about your physical body, think about your mind, think about your emotions, and think about your spirit, that unseen. Now, this journey through self transformation for me began with the physical body. So I knew that I wasn't healthy. I was young, but what is it that I'm doing wrong? And the whole body took me on on this journey through biohacking, really, and whatever it was, personalized health, supplements, you know, how to power up your sleep, how to understand your energy levels. I mean, everything that goes around your body. Essentially, I've been on this recalibration mission. Now, when I was able to heal the body and get it into homeostasis, I start naturally inclining into my mind, because mind is obviously extremely powerful, and whatever we think, we become. And at that stage, I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought I can do what I thought I could. I had, you know, negative self-talk. And so I went on this mission of literally rewrite my thoughts. And so I started rewriting it through intention. And anytime I thought something negatively about myself or about another person, I would rewrite that thought pattern until that pattern stopped coming to me. I think Joe Dispenza says this, that 95% of our thoughts are the same repetition. And that's, by the way, the deception. That's when we're locked in that wheel of karma, wheel of not being able to step outside of the tunnel. And that 5%, that little bit of a chance that we have in our life to make the difference, is when we have to really revisit what are our thoughts, what are we thinking about ourselves, because that's literally the direct reflection in our body and in our emotions. Now, when I start really working with my thoughts, and I start making my thoughts work for me rather than thinking that they're just like these thoughts that are there, you know, playing around, I start understanding the importance of emotions, especially in men. It is been taught to, you know, not cry, to suck it up, to stop, and to not open our hearts. And again, there is a reason why society, or why this deception, is wanting us to be limited. They want us to be in a fearful state because our energetic body is not fully expanded at that time, which means that we're controllable. Now, emotions are the direct communication to your soul, to your spirit. Now, through emotions is how we create. Through emotions is what determines the state, how we're feeling. And that emotions have been given to us to, it's the most beautiful and the hardest thing on this earth, because the emotions are something that allows us to feel this beautiful 3D dimension. Now, when I was able to start working with my emotions, and that's recalibrating them, refueling them, what you have to realize is that just like we feed our physical body, we have to feed our mental body, and so do we have to feed our emotional body. And so, you know, eating healthy, clean, and doing intermittent fasting really helps the physical body, right? Now, the same thing we have to repeat for our mental body. And if we're consuming news, if we're consuming any sorts of ideas and novels and articles that are not of our highest good, then those are the thoughts that will then become part of our DNA that we then have to spend time on recalibrating, refueling.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, it definitely is like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the same way, though, goes for emotions. And this is what people don't realize. So the best way that you actually fuel your emotions is when you go into a place of timelessness. So whenever you're doing art, music, this is why passion is so important, because if you lose your sight of passion, if you lose the sight of things where you lose yourself in time, you're going to continuously have agitated emotions. There will be something that is not fulfilling you. And that's why filling that void with a constant proper food for your emotions is really important. Now, spirit is the fourth aspect of the me. And essentially, what I talk about in workshops and retreats is we have more than five senses. So we all are aware of our five senses, but the way we communicate with our spirit is through our psychic senses. So there's four outer senses. There is psychic hearing, which is the little whispers in your brain that are telling you, guiding you, navigating you. But most of the time, we don't trust them. We don't believe these thoughts. And we listen to that loud noise that keeps on repeating that clutter, which is the mind, the noisy mind. Instead, understanding what are these subtle voices telling us. That's that 5% that we can access through psychic hearing. Now, there is that visions. For some, it's a lucid dreaming. Others can see things before they happen. And those are your psychic visions. Then we've got psychic knowing, which is when you know something, it does not require thinking. So when you think, you don't know. When you know, you don't think. Just marinate on that for a moment, because when you knew you shouldn't have gotten to that party, you knew that partner would not turn out well. That was your knowing. That was your inner clock, your inner intuition. Now, the next one is your psychic feeling, which comes from your solar plexus and extends into your arms and into your hands. And essentially, when you feel and you walk into a room, and let's say that the room has been occupied by a fight or something negative was happening in there, something doesn't feel right. And so everyone has these four psychic senses. But what happens is we're taught to not trust them. We're not taught to develop them. And the way you actually build the trust and build the development is through communication. So you communicate whenever you feel something. Thank you. I felt that. Whenever you heard something, that whisper telling you, can you go into a gym? You haven't moved my body for a long time. Then you say, thank you. I heard that. And you can even meditate on these as well to really just question different thoughts and different statements. So whenever you make a statement, see what first one of these psychic senses will come. And then whichever one or two are most prominent for you, develop these first before you head into the other ones. Because some people are, you know, naturally visionaries. Other people are more of a feelers. And so it really depends what is your cup of coffee, essentially. What is your gift that you've been gifted?
Yeah, definitely. When I heard first time about psychic elements, I could only understand it when someone explained to me what is psychic feeling. And I grasped that immediately because I know that very well. And psychic hearing was not there for me. But as you tell it, psychic elements do generally support us, do they?
So that is something that we've been gifted before we were born on Earth. So essentially, think about your spirit. So I always like to have people understand this, because it's hard to put a science on this, right? And it's hard to this is when it can really push somebody's belief system. Now, the way I've felt it, seen it for myself is Whenever you're connecting to your spirit, that's that ha, that mana, prana, that's that inner, that most important part of us, really. And so when you think about your spirit, think about your spirit as a iceberg that is this, that is underneath the water. So if you think about an iceberg, you have a tip of the iceberg, which is your physical body. And then you have the wide, huge part of iceberg that's underneath the water, which is your soul. Now, if you flip it, reverse it, your spirit is right above your head, and it's kind of vast V shape above you. So it's this powerful force. And then the tip of the iceberg is your physical body. It's just a wet vessel that we chose to learn through in this current time. Now, everyone is part of one soul. And so think about a soul as an ocean, and think about the different people that we meet along the journey as a different wave, part of the whole ocean. So you are a, you know, let's say a wave before me, and then I'm wave behind you, and then our friends, you know, can be the other waves in that whole process. But that's when people are saying we're one, it's hard for us to believe it, see it, unless we go into these enlightened states. But when you think about just the ocean and the waves, it's an easy way to comprehend.
Yeah, that's a mighty picture. Yeah, and I also did make this note for our talk now, then, and I wanted you to elaborate on the flip iceberg image. That was my note for that. And I really love how you explain that. So simple. This is the soul is the ocean. And then the spirits around you, these are the waves that is that grabs this this ever moving thing in the connection to other people.
Absolutely. And to, you know, and I guess to elaborate on your question with the psychic senses, they were given to us just like our physical senses. So we have a physical senses to be able to navigate and operate in our 3D world. The psychic senses are the direct communication with the physical senses to help us navigate with the spirit world. And so, whenever you go into a deep meditations and states, you are communicating with your psychic senses. You barely feel your physical senses. And that's kind of what completes that individual consciousness, the me, what's around you. And this is why first part of the journey is that wake up process of where can you improve on any of these levels? What can you wake up to a higher mind, to a greater potential? So that way you can clean up whatever does not work for you in that current level, whatever's mind, body, soul, emotion. And then you can power up with the new information, new podcast, new energy. And then you rest up to understand what have you learned, to feel, recharge, and regroup so you can restart this process again. And when you really focus on the me, 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 you start losing that egoic sense of me. And that's what happened to me in the process, is that all of a sudden I was like, well, how about my neighbors? How about my friends? How about my family? If I'm great, but they're not, how is this a win? How are we in the environment of winning for the whole as a one mankind? And this is when, you know, I've been on this deep, deep mission of the we, because we are a collective, and part of our evolution on Earth is going to be, how do we unify ourselves where we're not in this world of complete disagreements from, you know, cultures and political looks and, you know, so many different environments. We have to realize that we're off the same. And that's what happened to me after I've been able to go through the me process. I move into the we, the collective. And if you think about the we, it's everything around you that makes up the me. So they're kind of interchangeable in a lot of ways. But if you want to break it down, the we part, I broke it down into relationships and then environment. Environment meaning, what do I drink? What do I eat? What's the quality of the sun? I mean, everything that you are exposed in the environment. And when we look at the relationship, so, you know, I've failed miserably in so many different relationships all throughout my life. And I've been on a quest to heal those pain bodies, heal that energetically. So that way, you know, it's not bounding me back to earth. And it's truly one of the most important parts to move into the weak consciousness is to forgive yourself, to forgive another, to accept what happened and process it, feel it through the emotions, through the mind, through the body. So that way you can truly open up yourself to the collective consciousness. When you open up yourself to collective consciousness, the life just all of a sudden gets way bigger. When you feel the vastness of not just the limited area around you, when you step outside of the me self, you can see the beginning of the water and you can see the end of the water. It's an example of you see, you feel the stream and you also feel the ocean and you also feel the stream again. And so that's that expansive state of being. It really start unlocking when I start working with anyone that I have hurt this life and also where I have hurt myself. My collective consciousness and understanding also start really stepping in when I walked around my house, when I go into an airplane, whatever I'm going into, I start paying attention. What is giving me energy and what is taking the energy away? Because this is when the conscious spaces comes into place. And this is why it's so important to me to have this, because now I start thinking about, okay, I have a healthy organic food, but then was it exposed to radiation? Or, you know, we have this awesome, living space, but then what is the level of 5G towers around my house? And then, you know, I start thinking about water and then you start going on this rabbit hole of what actually you are using and doing in the environment that is simply damaging us. It's taking us down. And so I've literally cleared my environment. So that way it's a fully conscious space. So if you, for instance, go into my home, you'll find a completely polarized space, EMF shielded. You'll find different non-toxic paint. You'll find, you know, blue light blocking lights all throughout, as well as red lights at night so we can go to sleep. You'll find special air purifiers for the air that we're breathing and so on. So it goes into a really depth to create the right environment so that way the me can be fully supported all throughout your life. And when you master kind of that we part, the collective, you then realize that you forget it all. And that's the B. So me, we, B is the trinity of this model. And B is the full integrated living on earth, essentially. It's the highest expression of yourself. If you look at a gamma brain waves, it's a very positioned, because essentially you are in an active living place on earth, but you're fully connected to the spiritual world as well. And that's gamma. And essentially, when you live off of the B, you're living creation. And, I've always had this, beautiful, value that I've been intrigued by, and it's to be, do, and have. Now, most people live the opposite. They have to have the right people, the right resources, the right ideas before they take or do the right actions. And most of the time, they never become it. Now, when you are it, feel it, embrace it, then you take the right steps to bring it and calling in even faster. And then you have the results as a natural process of this expression. And that's literally the image of God that we are.
Yes, and it is a journey towards the within. And I think that is something that breaks the rules of the society we live in, where the savior comes from the outside. but it does not. The way to, well, to this pure essence, to this highest expression, is a way to the inside.
Absolutely. And so is in, so without, right? So this is that there's a laws of universe and laws of opposites that we abide in and that we live in and that are purposely not explained to us. So that way the law of attraction that so many are speaking about is simply a concept. And what I'm talking about here is you bypass any knowledge of law of attraction because you are the attraction and you are the divine and you're the divine in action. And when you become it, then you will never even have to read one more book in your life.
Yes, exactly. The law of attraction is studying something. And every time you rationalize something, you put it in your mind, that is a process of denial. And in this case, denial of, this divine strength you get. And the strength to not only to choose where to go, but to open the spaces. You just invent the spaces where you go in, and they have not been there before. But that is maybe this highest expression.
Absolutely.
And you have two kids, if I see this right on Instagram. And what would be, so your three top take this out into the world messages for your kids, which are, which I guess they are living a quite a free life with you, and they are heavily influenced by you. That is part of being a father. And also with the background of you benefiting so such a lot of not being pressed into the system, but having had the time of, well, you said you were 17 when you started to read Tolle. That is so amazing. I was double the age when I first heard of him. So that's such a gift that you have been given. And how would you, and what would you give your kids as the top three things to develop themselves to the best self they can be?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I do not treat them as kids. One of the most important things that I found is they're way more open and smarter than us because they have not yet developed limitations. And more important than anything is to not limit them and especially not bringing fear to them. What I've noticed with a lot of people that have nannies, for instance, that they are not with their children, the generic way of raising kids is you can do this, you can do that, be careful, don't hurt yourself. And it's one fear after another that makes our kids be limited. Now, the most important process of raising kids, from what I've learned, is you continue having them question everything. And you continue having them answer on their own everything. And if we don't keep on questioning them, then we're going to be telling them whatever our idea of life is. And this is why whenever they ask, we have some of the deepest conversations, especially before sleep. I'll give you an example. My little daughter got a little sick yesterday and she, you know, came home and we went on the outside to go on the full moon. And we did this two-part breathing where she imagined a tunnel in front of her to move into a healing vortex of energy. And we were breathing together. And I was so impressed. She literally lasted for 15 minutes straight until we both passed out and went into this healing temple. And she was fine next morning. And so, you know, kids literally, there is no, they don't understand limits unless you give it to them. And so, in a simple form is defining their why. So continue questioning their true purpose, their why, because that's that burning desire that makes you wake up, and it's that burning intention. And this is one of the most important things we have to change on earth is our why, because we live in a system that is driven by money, that is driven by power, that is driven by self-centric interest. And if we just change this one fundamental thing and we moved it to the tiny pinch right, like from 440 hertz to 432 hertz or even 441 hertz, things would shift tremendously. The next part we have to do is regenerate. We have to really regenerate, whatever it's earth, whatever it's our bodies. We've made so much damage, and that goes for children as well. We continuously have to focus on regenerative ways to come back to the implications that we've made. And then the last one is educate. Education that is not out of scripts from school, from the traditional, but education that's based on what your true heart's desire is going to guide you and navigate you, what you need to hear at what time of your life and what stage.
Yeah, thank you. And sorry for me calling them kids. You're totally right. That is inappropriate. And the second point was that you talked about 432 hertz. And right now I'm producing this podcast episode in the rooms of my private practice. I'm doing hypnotherapy here. And I do have a sound bed here, which is tuned in on 432 hertz. So occasionally I lay people on there, and they are from a piano, the strings, they are all, well, if you buy them, this is cis. And then there are 39 strings below this corpus of maple, maple being a very hard, dense wood. So the vibrations of the strings will make overlaying patterns and higher frequencies. And that gives an enormous feeling in the body. And I try to explain with it, it straightens your chakras. It's a really energetic thing. I send you an MP3 after we talk, so you can hear what I do here with patients. And I totally love the frequency. That is something special.
Yes, I would love to. And you know, I'm all about any of that. This is why, you know, we do breath, dance, meditation. I mean, that's like our top three things. And in the dance part is sound. And sound is immense. And we don't really understand it enough in this current section yet. And I'm really excited to see what we can do through sound. I think we're seeing 1% of what it can do.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're seeing only a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. In the talk, you said each month you do something radical. I don't know if I heard it right, but maybe it was the words, I do something that scares the shit out of me. So I'm really interested. What will be the next radical thing for the next month? What will it be? What you throw yourself into?
Yeah, that's hilarious that you ask. So I'm doing an Iboga cleanse. So it's a I'm doing basically a 3-day cleanse prior to it, and then Iboga has been really powerful medicine for me, and it's really weird, but it's not necessarily that it scares. Well, it always scares you, but. It's something that I've been now doing. So every month, during the full moon, I take 3-4 days to go completely inward. And this month I didn't do it, which is, I think, one of the reasons why, you know, I've been, down and not replenished. But, essentially I combine Iboga with, series of, enemas, coffee enemas and enzyme enemas. So it's this, like, it's not really comfortable at all, but it completely flushes the liver and flushes your organs and everything that you need to clean.
What is Iboga? What is made of?
Iboga is a plant or root bark from South Africa or from Africa. And Iboga has something in it called ibogaine, which can also be psychoactive. It's about 10 times stronger than ayahuasca. It can last up to 3 days when you're taking iboga, and it can completely get rid of many different things, from spiritual wounds and all the way to physical. It's actually very physical, but yeah, check it out. It's really.
Yeah, I will, definitely. I will. I just wrote it down. Yeah, I will have when I come to cutting this episode. There will be another email to you with a lot of questions, I guess, and questions for links and all that. So there have been so many things, and these fields you explore are so dense of knowledge that I want to support people with that. Ibogaine, thank you. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
I'm really looking forward into working with ketamine. That is something I want to implement in my practice, and just because it's legal in Germany, and also I think psilocybin has a great potential, and but needs to be illegal here to work with patients in a normal way. In the regulated way, that would be my aim at the end. So I would love to have the possibility to do hypnotherapy combined with psychedelics. I think that would release a lot of pain in people.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, to me, when you go into psychedelics, it's when you can go directly to the spiritual world, and when you learn how to navigate that world, you can start seeing this world without the hologram. And so maybe next time when you have a chance, go into it from a place of an actual, like almost like if you're going to an office, but you're going into an office for your spirit. And you start questioning and you start working. Like for me, I get so busy when I, you know, take very high doses of psilocybin. And for me, it's to clean up, access, revisit, and then close it and take it to probably every 3 to 4 months is when we do like a deep dive into that.
Oh, that's an interesting concept. Yeah. So to preserve it as a special occasion with like an indication to deep dive.
Yeah, it's almost like, so you know how we were talking about like treating the body, mind, emotions. So this is like a way that you can really access the spirit, and you can go into that training of your psychic senses. And when you are on these states, you can really feel your thoughts. You can really feel your feelings. And so in that time is a great way to work with the spirit, you know, questioning your spirit. Why are you here? What am I? Who am I? And all of these answers will start coming to you when you prompt them. And because what happens a lot of times with psychedelics, people do it for the fun of it, right? People do it for the beautiful sounds, the heightened feelings, and all of that is great. But when I do psychedelics, I have a blindfold and I have a complete silence for the first 4 hours, and I'm literally in an office. And because when you don't get distracted by all the external, you can actually go truly very, very far deep into the internal. And then when you start, you know, coming off of it towards the end, it's great to put music and it's great to do other stuff, but and you know, maybe dance a little bit and have fun, even curate. But when you're fully in it, and it's very, very powerful and different experience when you use it for what it's meant to do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I love the description of the office. I can get this imagery good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people want to come in contact with you now after hearing all the things you do and you advocate for and you're living, where can they drop in your feed?
Yeah, so noaaon.com is my website, and it's noaaon. Noah means movement, and Aeon is all or none, and it symbolizes duality, by the way. So that's how it came about. And then Noah Aeon Official on most social media. And under my Instagram, we have a Linktree link in the bio that can give you many, many different free recordings, live meditations, breath works, as well as updated schedule. And we do retreats, workshops, immersive experiences all throughout the world, all the time. So really, it's just a matter of where you at, what do you need help with, and we have a beautiful team also. So if you want to email with any questions, concerns, or support, it's at info@noahaeon.com. And we're here to serve. And I think that's we're here to create alliance with people that want to align, that want to grow together, and that are ready to step outside of the me world. And they want that we consciousness.
Well, that is so awesome to hear. Also, that there's the sounds you created as a spiritual DJ, may I say so. Thank you very much for this. For this gift for people to check in, and I will be there on the Linktree and consume a little bit and like it. And next weekend will be a spiritual weekend for me, and I guess the sound will be with me, and I'm really thankful for that.
That is amazing. Yes, I hope you enjoy it. Those are important times.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Oh, Kat, thank you so very much for your time. Thank you very much for your thoughts, for all that you give to the world. And may there be a lot that you receive in exchange. And I think it is like that. And I wish for you to be like that. Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much as well. Take care.
Let me wrap it up, and these are my three most important take-home messages. First, wake up, clean up, power up, rest up. Second, when you think you don't know, if you know you don't think. And third one, explain so that 99% of the world will understand it. And sorry people, that one hit home for me, and I'm chewing on that one. You will find Pavel and Noah Aeon in the show notes, and a lot of links to his Instagram account, where you find the Linktree with Fairy and Noah, and all the music stuff he explained in the show, but also about the methods he's working. And I also included some papers, PubMed papers on the Gamma Wave Band and Iboga, and also on psychedelic therapy. So I have a little peek into those really interesting subjects. This is what will happen in the next years in psychotherapy and self-development and in all those circumstances that require to get a little deep dive into your own soul. I recorded some episodes in English recently, and if you're an English-speaking listener, save the show in your podcast app and come back for more. If you liked this conversation and thought of someone while listening, send him the link to the show and slap the like button. If there are any questions left right now, write an email to podcast@christophmauer.de or voicemail me on speakpipe.com/christophmauer. I will have a hidden track after all the talking is done, and you can listen to Peace Play with my sound bed. For now, have a good day, eyes off the screen, and take care.